Thought I'd show you a Christmas picture today, tell you a little story. Well, it's really three stories in one. But it's basically my Christmas picture for you. It's not just for the girls and boys, but if you can't see girls and boys, you feel free to come and sit on the carpet. It's best to stay on the carpet because you'll see the picture best from there. Best not to come on the platform because you won't see it so well. And then grown-ups want you to share my picture, which I've drawn. I try and do these pictures as well as I can. I'm not a very good drawer, but I can copy sometimes quite well. That's how I do it. Now, I don't know how many people here in church this morning are visitors to London staying with friends. Let me see. Just a little show of hands. I'd like to see how many are visitors. Quite a number of you. It's great to see you. Hope you have a wonderful stay here in London. We can't promise any snow, but you're going to have a fine time. Let's start with a picture. Imagine you're in the wood. This is my make-believe picture. This is my fable. Imagine that you're out in the wood, not too far away, and that you are just walking around, kicking the leaves, you know, as you walk, and suddenly you come across an old shoe. Most extraordinary. You think, how ever did that shoe get here? But sometimes you do see things like that. You're walking along, suddenly come across an old shoe lying around. You think, how did it get there? Did somebody just walk and then just kick their shoe off and then go on walking without their shoe? How did it get there? Don't know. But out of that comes all sorts of stories. An old shoe. And we imagine, I suppose, we could imagine that it's winter time, so there's the snowman not far away. I'll show you. You've got a special view of your own. There we are. All right. Winter time. An old shoe lying there in the snow, the snowman looking on, and you think to yourself, what's it all about? Ah, you know the fable. At least you know the sort of rhyme. It's a little children's nursery rhyme. There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. Does anybody know how it ends? The next line? Have a try. Exactly. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. So, we imagine that as you look at the shoe here, and you're thinking, looking closely, very closely, you think, goodness me, something's happened to that shoe. It seems to be inhabited. There seems to be somebody there at home. Most extraordinary. Don't know how that could have happened, but you find it's got a little roof on. And people are looking out of the window there. There's somebody there, and there's somebody there too, and another little window. This shoe seems to be inhabited. What a lovely thing. Marvelous, really, to think. Could you live in an old shoe? It's my fable. It's an old fable. It's not true, of course, but it's a lovely story. I like to think, could live in a shoe? Why, you could pop a little door on it, so you could go in and out, and that would be rather nice. A door. Open the door, go in and out, and people there, and people looking out of the window, looking so friendly. Yeah, look, let's put another little window in. Here we are. Another little window. People looking out and smiling all over their face. We live here. Marvelous. And should we add one or two more people? You can't get many people into a shoe, but there's a little boy there. He hasn't got a bedroom of his own, so they stick him on the roof. And then one or two other children, many more children, they're looking out, waving, but they've got nowhere, they haven't got a bedroom. That's not very nice. This poor old lady who lived in a shoe, she had so many children, she didn't know what to do. And the children keep on coming more and more. After a little bit, tempers get a bit, you know, fractious. People start losing their temper with each other. Selfishnesses start to happen. Accidents start to happen. People start falling out of windows, and it's not very pleasant. Oh, dear. That's not very happy. And people start pushing each other. and shoving and not making life at all easy for each other, pushing each other out of the windows. It's not very nice, really. Oh dear. Not a very comfortable place to be in. You people there, you can't see. Well, we ought to move the pulpit. But there we are. Can't do it at the moment. It's not a very happy sight. And then people start being careless with each other and start to tip things out of the window without looking to see who's underneath. It's very, very unfortunate when these things happen. People just not being careful of one another. It's a great pity. People suddenly finding how uncomfortable it is living in a shoe. No room in this shoe for everybody. Get some people in, but pray there's no room for you. Look at that poor chap in the green pajamas, the front door. He's not having a very happy time. There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. And life got difficult, really difficult. And then people started to be fractious and crying. The poor old lady, there she is. She's just given up. There's no room in the shoe for everybody. And that is the first part of my story. First part of my picture. No room in the shoe. It's a fairy story. It's a nursery rhyme. It's not true. And yet, it's quite a story. No room in the shoe. We'll change the picture. Let's change the picture. Remember that one. You can draw it if you're clever after Christmas dinner or whatever you're going to have today. But we'll take the picture to bits and we'll think again now about another picture. No longer the old woman who lived in a shoe, but now for the true story. There's three stories altogether. That was one. Now we'll come to the next story. Here we are in a town. We were singing about this town earlier on. Look away to Bethlehem, we were singing. And the little town of Bethlehem, ever been to Bethlehem? Perhaps one or two have. I have. It's quite interesting to go to Bethlehem. I bought an umbrella there, remember. It was sold me by an Arab. And I went to see one or two of the famous places there, one or two of the famous sites, Bethlehem. Here's the true story. We've been singing about it. It's absolutely central to the Christmas message. As we think about Joseph and Mary coming towards Bethlehem, they come a long way, they come 80 miles from Nazareth with a donkey. At least we think there was a donkey. How else would they have traveled? I think that's how they'd have done it. And Mary saying to Joseph, I'm so tired. I am so tired. Making that long journey, no cars, no special transport, just a donkey. And they get there, they go, oh, here's Bethlehem at last. Let's find the hotel now. So they go to the hotel. Keep that in your picture, in your mind's eye. Bethlehem, the scene, Joseph and Mary coming nearer and nearer and looking for the hotel. I don't know whether you've ever done that when you're on holiday. Perhaps you've been on holiday and you're looking for bed and breakfast, something like that, hoping to find the right place. Well, they come to the inn, one inn after another, one place after another, hoping to find a bit of space, a bit of room. And it's getting on towards the evening time, so that more and more tired, and Mary saying to Joseph, can you find a place? Oh, he says, I'm sure we can find a place. Try and do it before it gets too dark. because I'm getting very, very tired. It looks all quite welcoming. And they're hoping to find a place. And then, as they come right up to the door, Mary's saying, "I'm very tired, and I wonder whether this is the place." And Joseph's saying, "I'll have a try." And then the man coming to the front, saying, "Terribly sorry, no room. No room here." We're thinking about the old woman who lived in a shoe. Well, there's no room in the shoe for everybody. Here's now the true story. The most important person who has ever lived on this world being born. You'd think that if they only knew, Bethlehem would have opened its doors and said, "Come on in. We'll find a bed for you for the night. You can stay with us. Would you like a bath for the baby? When the baby is born, we'll get everything ready. We'll prepare a cot." Instead of which they said, "No room, sorry, full up, can't come in." That's the story. And then maybe when it came to one man, one innkeeper, out he comes and he says, "Actually, although there's no room here, there's a little place just around the back, not far away. You go there. It's not a hotel, it's not even a room, it's more like a cave. But if you go there, you'll find well, there's a cattle trough, and we can find a bit of space. Make yourselves comfortable." That's all they could find in Bethlehem. We've been singing about the story. Keep it in your mind's eye. Think about it as we change the picture again. And as we focus now upon the little stable. Have you ever drawn it, boys and girls? You've ever tried to do a Christmas card with a stable on it? This is my attempt. I try to draw a little stable, and then you've done on your card the manger in the middle. I like to draw a little lantern, but I'm sure actually it wasn't a lantern. I'm sure it was pitch dark. And then we think of Joseph and Mary and the baby, and there's Bethlehem in the distance. And that's all they could find. I've only put the light in there because it makes it look nice, but I'm sure there was no light. It would have been very dark. Animals all round. Very smelly. The most important person who's ever been born into our world. Jesus Christ. And that's all they could find. Little place. And then the only people who came, were they the religious people of the day? The top people? No. Just a few shepherds came along wanting to see what had happened because they heard the message of the angels. A few sheep came. But apart from that, very, very little. And as we think about this story, I ask you to think about what our world has been like ever since. Is there room for Jesus Christ? There was certainly no room in the inn. So no room in the shoe. That's the fairy story. And now the true story, no room in the inn at Bethlehem for the most important person who has ever lived. Hello, darling. Keep that in your mind's eye as we change the picture to my last story. That's the true story. All right? If you're clever, you can draw it later on or make it into a Christmas card for next Christmas. Because I noticed that girls and boys are very good at drawing pictures of the nativity scene of Bethlehem and of Joseph and Mary. But now we come to the last bit. So we've had two stories so far. The fairy story about the old woman who lived in a shoe. We've had the true story, no room in the inn. And now we come to the last bit of the story, which is today's story. Your story. Today's story, boys and girls, men and women. And as we think about this, let's have two figures. I wonder which you'd like to be. We'll start with this one. We'll have this boy here. And for him, Christmas is getting a bit of a bore. It gets more and more boring with every Christmas. And by the time he gets to 40, he's had enough. Because he really just sees the outside of Christmas. He doesn't see the inside at all. He just sees things to, well, let's put up on the screen what he likes. He's living for, let's put it down. Can you read my writing? Eating. Having. Retiring. And dying. That's about it. Do you know, girls and boys, millions of people are just living with their eyes upon saving up enough for a place to retire on at the end of their days and hoping for a few kind words at the end in the newspaper. Many people have, that's all they've got. All they've got. Eating, having, hoping to save up enough to retire on, and then popping off and dying. So, of course, as every Christmas comes by, gets a bit more boring. Not so interesting. Have a look at that boy. Shall we have the other figure? Now, they're both boys. I'm afraid I haven't got a girl. I'm not quite so good at drawing girls. One day, I'll draw a girl. But this time, it's another boy. This boy's got it differently. I think he's got it better, actually. He hasn't got all the, well, we grown-ups would call it the materialistic trappings. He's free of all that. He's been freed from all of that by his relationship, by his friendship with Jesus Christ. He actually knows him. He's come to follow him day by day. So when it gets to things like Christmas, he's full of thanking, growing. That's one of the things he wants to do, to go on growing more like Jesus Christ in his character, and belonging. Belonging to him, and not dying, but living. Living with eternity, living forever. That's the better way of doing it. Which way would you like to do it? There's two ways to live. We can either live with room in our hearts for Jesus Christ, or we can live without room in our hearts for Jesus Christ, but then just living for this world only. So we had no room in the shoe, no room in the inn, no room in people's hearts. Or is it different with you? Do we find room in our hearts for him? Can we say to him, Lord Jesus, you're my best friend. The best friend I ever had is you. I want you always to live in my heart, to live in my life, with me forever and for always. So, well, I have drawn a couple of girls here, actually, and there's one boy. So, maybe one of these is you. Don't know which, but you're there somewhere, I think. Which is you? Two ways to live. We can choose. Christmas helps us to choose. So those are my three stories. No room in the shoe. That's the fairy story. No room in the inn. That's the true story of Christmas. And today's story, no room in my heart. It has to be another way. It's two ways to live, and Christmas helps us to choose.